It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. A weird Wednesday.
Weird Wednesday.
We might have had our last Woj bomb ever today.
Yeah, that was dramatic. That was dramatic. Didn't see that one coming, did we?
No, not even a little bit.
No.
So, if you missed it, and good morning, everybody. That's James Hamm over there. I'm Kyle Madsen right here. Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. Salute to Jiffy Lube, and shout out to Matt from Jiffy Lube.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate him very much.
Did you get your gift bag yesterday?
I did. I got my gift bag yesterday for the one-year show. So, if Matt, if you're listening, thank you so much. And again, salute to Jiffy Lube. They are the reason that this show is presently on the air. So, hello. Good morning. Thank you to everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320 if you want to tap in there, or twitch.tv/ESPN1320. And always, of course, on the free Odyssey app. And shout out to everybody listening on the radio at ESPN 1320 AM. If you'd like to join the show, please do at the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. That is 916-909-1320. Tons to get into today, and we'd love to have you be part of the program. So, if you missed it, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted this morning a graphic that announced his retirement from ESPN. It was an unexpected move, according to reporting from The Athletic. And let me get this up here so we can all read it together. Here's a statement from Woj today. I grew up the son of a factory worker 2 miles from ESPN's campus and only ever dreamed of making a living as a sports writer. 37 years ago, the Hartford Courant gave me my first byline and I never stopped chasing the thrill of it all. Blah, blah, blah. I understand the commitment required in my role and it's an investment that I'm no longer driven to make. He said he's decided to retire from ESPN. Time isn't in endless supply, and I wanted to spend mine in ways that are more personally meaningful. Blah, blah, blah. After all these years reporting on everyone's team, I'm headed back to my own. So Adrian Wojnarowski hanging him up. And then Adam Schefter reported that he's that he's going to be the general manager at St. Bonaventure.
Yep.
Which is Woj's...
The Bonnies.
Which is Woj's alma mater. Yeah, we've got that for you as well. Oh, nope, we don't. I'm not going to share that one. Sorry. But ESPN's Adam Schefter reported that Woj has agreed to become the general manager of the men's basketball team at St. Bonaventure. The role includes name, image, and likeness allocation, recruiting, and supporting successful Bonnies coach Mark Schmidt.
Yeah.
Wild.
Absolutely wild. I mean, this is a face of sports media, not just NBA. I mean, there isn't a bigger name in the media world than Woj. And
no.
Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from Adam Schefter or Stephen A. Smith or all the people that yell and scream it, you know, in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing has more effect, more impact in the sports media world than a Woj bomb.
No.
And him to hang it up at the age of 55, I think this is a spectacular move for him because he's made a lot of money. He's done great work. He's a Hall of Famer, like straight up.
He should be.
He will be a Hall of Famer without any question.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that for me is that he's stepping away on his own terms. He's not, like, the game hasn't passed him by. Shams hasn't passed him by. There isn't a reason for this except for, like, this job is a horrible grind.
It's a lot.
It never shuts off. Mm-hmm. And you, like, if you want to look at your screen time, and, you know, we always joke about how many unread emails I have, but if we compare screen times, like, guys like Woj, you're talking 12 hours a day screen time.
Minimum.
It does not go away. Even like for years covering the Kings, just one team, it's different because I'm on the ground. He's sitting in his house or somewhere in an office somewhere, like fielding calls and stuff. But when you're on the ground and you're there all the day and the driving and the moving from one spot to the next and all that stuff, it's such a grind and it wears you down. And like, it's almost like being a sports journalist, really, it works in dog years. Like, it feels like every year feels like seven. And like, I don't blame him for wanting to like take a job that's going, he'll be able to dedicate himself to that job and he'll be very focused, but it will be way different. And he'll be able to shut off. He'll be able to go away from the noise. And that's so tough to do.
Yeah, man, you said it. In this current age, if you're writing, doing radio, doing podcasting, it's constantly there. To get away, I don't know what you do. My move is I put my phone on driving mode, so there's an automated message that goes out if somebody texts me. And I have to put my phone upstairs in my room and then go downstairs. And even then, there's always that little worry in the back of your head that, hey, it's Saturday at 9:30 p.m. I'm done with work. But what if something weird happens? What if I was out the night Reuben Foster, remember that whole disaster with Reuben Foster in the team hotel in Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
On a Saturday night, I was at a brewery after a brewery tour. I was at a Fuddruckers, if I can say that on the radio. I was at a Fuddruckers eating a burger and I'm several beers in. And all of a sudden this news breaks at like 10:30 p.m. that Reuben Foster got arrested at the team hotel. And now you're starting to, you got to get in touch with people and you got to navigate stuff and you're trying to, and it's just, that's just one small example in the very tiny sliver of the sports internet that I occupy. We'll just do that for the entire NBA. I can't fathom like the stress level I feel stepping away. He can't. Because his job is scoops. My job is, okay, get the news out and then write, you know, maybe a follow-up piece or whatever, maybe do an emergency podcast, but the urgency is less. With Woj, like, he makes money to break the news.
Oh, yeah.
And so that, you've heard these stories of Adam Schefter, like at Thanksgiving dinner, he has to step away and go outside and he's making phone calls. Now he's missing all of dinner because he's on the phone outside for the entire night.
I've been there.
Sounds horrible.
Man, I tell you, I drove, the NBA All-Star game was starting in the afternoon, and I knew what time it was starting, and so, I'm like, okay, we can squeeze in a matinee movie, me and the family. So we went to drive down to Auburn, we went to go see Lego Batman on a Sunday.
Hell yeah.
I have a tub of popcorn and a soda. I go to grab the napkins, as you do. Handfuls of napkins. My kids are young. I get a buzz on my phone. The Kings are in discussions to trade DeMarcus Cousins to New Orleans Pelicans. I'm literally set down my popcorn. I hit a source. 50-50 looks like it's going to happen. Put out there. 50-50 it looks like it's going to happen. I walk into the theater. I hand the popcorn to my wife. I hand a drink to my wife, and I said, they're trading DeMarcus, I'll be back. I left my family in the theater, drove home, wrote the story, tracked the story, wrote the story, met them an hour and 45 minutes later, picked them up at the movie theater.
Oh.
Missed Lego Batman. So we're sitting there like...
You've seen Lego Batman since then.
Like 5 years later.
Okay, good.
I'm sitting there.
Terrific film.
And it shows up, Lego Batman is on, and I'm like, I don't think I've seen this. And then my wife's like, yeah, you left us in the movie theater. And I'm like, oh, that's true. Yeah, exactly. So like by the end of that day, like it like that's what the job is. Like it's all consuming.
Yeah.
And you like how many times I brought a laptop to dinner, like out at a restaurant, I have to open up my laptop and start writing. I hand my laptop to my wife to make it to edit really quickly and then post a story.
Oof.
Boom, 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 boom. It never stops. And that's what's so tough.
And that's with one team.
It's one team, so but there's a difference between covering because everything you're doing when it's one team is original content. So like if you're a blogger and or if you're at a desk, right? At NBC, we have an incredible desk, you know, all the years that I worked there. Like there's stuff that breaks, like the Woj news, that people grab and start writing, you know. That's different than being there interviewing people, getting the content, asking the questions, that's creating the content mm-hmm. that then goes viral other places. And it's a grind, man. I'm telling you, for years and years and years, just like you put everything on hold for like 6 months. Mm-hmm. Like, again, my neighbors think that I disappear, that I've left.
Mm-hmm.
And my family's still there, and they're wondering what exactly happened.
Because everything normal at the ham house.
I'm usually outside doing stuff yeah. all the time, and then all of a sudden I'm just gone for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a crazy, crazy job. So, like, hat tip to Woj for actually taking the moment to say, like, look, I've fulfilled my role here, and I'm done.
My watch has ended.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder, you mentioned that he's going to be a Hall of Famer. I know there's not like a media Hall of Fame, but that's where Woj should be. Just general, like, media along with people that invented television.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way sports reporting now works kind of started with Woj. That like info merchant, just I'm the newsbreaker,
mm-hmm.
that started with Woj. And Adam Schefter has since followed. I know people broke news before that. I know there were national newsbreakers before that. But it feels like Woj is the guy who took, I'm a newsbreaker and a writer, to like, hey, my job is to break news.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit here all day and trade info with teams and agents and coaches and making sure and general managers and making sure that I know everything all of the time. So when anything happens, I'm going to be the one to let the world know that it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what has permeated through sports media and into every other form of media. And I think it started with him.
Yeah. And if you've ever read any of Ethan Strauss, like Ethan has always had like mm-hmm. a bug about Woj, right?
Yeah.
And
oh, I got to check his Twitter feed.
He's written. Yeah, it's probably not a bad idea. He's written a couple of pieces about how Woj conducts his business, which was wild.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has a like PowerPoint presentation that he goes to like every general manager in the league and gives them like a PowerPoint presentation of why you should give your information to him versus anyone else. Mm-hmm. I mean, like he's basically created this monster that is himself. And when he walks away, now that he is walking away, we have no idea what that's going to look like afterwards
mm-hmm.
because everything does funnel directly to him and to Shams.
Yeah.
Like he created Shams.
Yes.
Like Shams is his protege.
Yeah.
And then not anymore. I mean, they clearly don't see eye to eye on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, he helped create Shams as well. And you're kind of hoping that this opens a door for more, but mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. I don't.
That's kind of what I'm... So there's a couple of questions that branch off of this for me. And if you missed it, Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN reported that he is retiring to become the general manager of the St. Bonaventure men's basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
That is his alma mater. And he'll cover like NIL deals and help out the coach and exert his influence however he can.
Yeah.
Because he's still going to have some pull. Like he's still Woj. So he's going to exert whatever influence he can to make sure that St. Bonaventure is maximizing whatever it gets out of its basketball program. Its men's basketball program, I should say. There's two questions that come out of this for me. The first one is this creates this pretty massive vacuum now.
Mm-hmm.
Because for so long it has been Woj and it has been Shams. And those have been the two guys. Well, now Woj is gone. It's Shams and then... who else?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this is going to be
fascinating.
It is. So we've already heard reports that ESPN is going to chase Shams and potentially
Chris Haynes, who is out at Turner.
Right. Exactly. So
and Shams, whose deal is up with Stadium and the Athletic.
Yes, he's already walked away from Stadium. The Athletic is where he's at.
Right.
And I do believe his deal there is up. That he's a mm-hmm. you know about to be a media free agent.
Right.
I'm going to assume that ESPN is going to chase him hard. Shams, that is.
Yeah.
And you know maybe they even bring in both of those guys. But then there's going to be like the balancing out what happens afterwards. And mm-hmm. there are great reporters who have taken sort of a backseat to the news breaking world.
Yes.
You know, even our friend here, like he's not allowed on the show for contractual reasons. But like, I've known Sam Amick for a long time, and he's incredible. And I hope that this, if he wants to get back in that game and to be like a quote unquote newsbreaker again, which he is still a newsbreaker, just not at the same what he was before. Like, they've kind of, the way The Athletic works is to funnel things through Shams, just like the way ESPN works is to funnel things through Woj. So I'm intrigued to see what happens there. You know, again, whether Chris Haynes steps up and becomes one of these guys, I don't know. Like, it's going to be interesting. Like,
can I present a theory?
Okay.
And again, this is just, this is taking a couple of dots and connecting them. I think what happened is ESPN knew that Shams' deal was coming up. And ESPN made it clear to Woj, again, this is me theorizing, hey, we're going to try and corner the market on NBA breaking news. We're going to go after Shams. He's already on the McAfee show, which airs on ESPN. We're gonna try and corner the market on NBA breaking news. And given that Woj, according to Andrew Marchand of The Athletic, Woj told his bosses about this morning. They were surprised by the move. This was not a thing that he went, hey, here's my 2 months notice. I'm going to hang them up right before next NBA season. I'm hanging up my iPhone. We're done here. Thank you. And they made it a whole thing. No, he told his bosses, according to Andrew Marchand, this morning, which leads me to believe there's a little bit of double birds in this. And given what we know about the contentious Shams-Woj relationship, it would not surprise me if ESPN went to Woj and said, hey, we have this idea. We're going to go get your protege. We're going to get Shams. He's going to be a newsbreaker here as well, and we're going to be the NBA. So no get NBC out of here. Get all the other places that Amazon.
The Athletic. Everybody.
All these other places that are breaking news, it's going to be ESPN only. There other places might air basketball, but we are going to have the market on NBA news. We are going to be the source of it. And Woj said, meh, no thanks, and bounced.
Maybe. Maybe that's the way this worked.
That's how all of this looks like it's going to shake out to me.
I'd be intrigued to see what it looks like afterwards. Like, once the dust settles and we actually kind of know what happened. But either way, I mean, Woj has made a really good living for himself.
He's doing fine.
He's going to continue to make a solid living and doing what he's doing. But he's also probably, he just gave himself an extra 5 years of life. Because I guarantee you what this job does to you, it just shortens everything. Like, they're, like, it just does. Like, you look around the room and you look at the faces and, like, it's a revolving door and it's a bunch of guys who are out of shape, who are exhausted at all times, you know, men and women, that we're all exhausted.
Yep.
Like, you know, working for NBC, we're talking 80-hour weeks all the way through the season. Like, five stories a day, like, for, I mean, like, how does your brain keep up? Like, there was a season where from, like, September 1, while we were launching the My Teams app, until April 15th.
RIP My Teams app.
Yeah, exactly.
Had a good run.
Yeah, until April, like, 15th, I had one day off. And the one day off was because I had a friend pass away, and I had to take a day off. Every other day, 3 to 5 stories a day.
Crazy.
Like, absolutely bury you. Yeah. And I don't know what people out there think writing 5 stories a day does to your brain. There's nothing left. You have nothing left to give to anyone else when you're done with that.
It's a lot.
It's like, it's a whole lot. And that's why, like, eating right, but also having someone like my wife, a supportive partner, and there's a handful of us that have that means everything to keep us going.
Yeah.
Like, stuff. Like, I've told, I said the other day, I've written game recaps while watching a game on my screen, writing on another screen, while sitting on a soccer field while my son is playing.
Jeez.
There's nothing you can, like, you have to keep going. Like, and it's just, you can't even get out of it. It's really, really wild.
Yeah, man. So good for Woj for getting away from all that. Here's the other thing that I kind of wonder comes out of this. This was the second branch that came out of this for me. I kind of wonder if we're going to see with Woj's exit, if we start to see the breaking news fall back toward local beats, because I don't, Shams is obviously going to be the guy for a lot. Shams is what, 28? Is Shams 30 yet?
He's got to be right around 30.
If he's 30, he's 30.
Yeah.
He's not an old guy. So Shams is going to be around for sure. But you mentioned Chris Haynes. Like, is Chris Haynes going to be that guy at this point? Is it Kevin O'Connick Jr., who just left the Ringer to go to Yahoo?
Mm.
Is he going to step? Is it back to Sam Amick? Is he going to? It's just, I can't imagine. And the reason I say this is not that all those guys aren't talented and very good, and it particularly Sam. I don't know that anybody's going to carry the gravity that Woj does.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody like Sam or Chris Haynes or Mark Stein fills that vacuum.
I mean, Mark Stein has his own newsletter, and that's where he breaks news from his Substack.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a major media outlet that he's attached to anymore.
Right, right. Good for him.
Well, but that's what the market did. Mm-hmm. Like, anyone who's making any money got pushed out.
Right.
Or you went to The Athletic. The Athletic just consumed everything. Mm-hmm. And the prey, like, as people in the sports world, in the sports media world, like, we're all praying that The Athletic would survive early on,
mm-hmm.
because you're watching them take in all this, like, venture capital money.
Yeah.
And, like, man, you pulled all of a ton of great reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't succeed, where are those guys going to go? Because there's nowhere for them to go already.
Yeah.
And luckily, they attached themselves to the New York Times and were able to become sustainable long term.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's great. Although, you know, cuts and everything else happen, whatever.
Sure.
But it's still, that was like a major concern early on. Like, well, what if it fails? And if it fails, it will like wipe out the NBA media market completely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a really interesting question, but I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that they're not going to go back to, you know, like we talked about it the other day. Like, we were in the gym, and as we walked in the gym one day, De'Aaron Fox rolled his ankle, and we saw him, like, we saw him fall down, but we didn't see him. He gets up and he hops off the court.
Right.
We're there. We ask the questions. We ask the questions of the coaches. They don't know what's going on. We ask the questions a couple of players, like, what's happening, and just, like, in general, just having conversations. We walk into the other room, and Shams breaks it that De'Aaron Fox has a grade 3 ankle sprain. It's literally the most disrespectful thing you can possibly do.
Insane.
Because we're there doing the job.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, he's doing his job, but he's not doing the job that you know, that is covering
right, you
the
go,
Kings.
You go to practice as a beat reporter, whether it's you or Matt Maiocco or Nick Wagner or Susan Slusser. You go as a beat reporter in case news happens.
Yeah, to literally tell the people that, hey, we just walked in the door and Kevin Huerter's back on the court wearing a purple uniform today. So it does look like he will play tomorrow.
Right, right.
Like,
that's what you were there to do. And I get, like you said, Shams has a job as well, but I would get it if that was during a closed practice and nobody was there and, hey, you know what, it got leaked to Shams, whatever. Because Shams is with Clutch, De'Aaron Fox is with Clutch, right?
Yeah, he's with Clutch now.
But
it was before that. It was before he was with Clutch.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, that's even worse. But you see, like, okay, there's that connection there. Whatever. When your local reporters are there,
like,
how does that? Come on, man. So I mean, maybe those guys have just accumulated so much power, being with ESPN and being with The Athletic that's just what it's going to be.
Oh no,
the value of, hey. We gave this news to Shams has so much more value to whoever leaked it than, because now, hey, I gave you that info. Now you'll give me some info.
Or you'll frame it in a way that looks positive for us.
Right.
Yeah.
And the beat reporters are going to break the news, but they're not, the weight isn't the same. The transactional nature of the information and what that has become is just not the same with local guys as it is and local men and women as it is with national.
Well,
reporters.
That's the problem. It's the transactional nature is a huge problem.
Yes.
Because it's tit for tat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not okay. But on top of that, like, we have all of these different mechanisms in place where they think they're doing themselves a service.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be doing their GM a service because these are, you know, things that you want put out there the right way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're realistically, you're not, because no one is tuned into your fan base and the people who are actually paying for your tickets
mm-hmm.
and supporting your team at a local level, like guys like me and Jason Anderson, used to be Jason Jones.
Yeah.
Like the guys that are on the ground doing the work. We are tapped in. They follow us.
Yeah.
When we walk through the stadium, there are so many people that are asking us questions about what's going on. Because they trust us.
Well, and people, we talk about this all the time. The national media talking about the Kings is generally embarrassing. Like, it's generally bad.
It's disingenuous, mostly.
Yeah, right. It's fine. Yeah. Like, it's hard to cover a whole league. I get it. And it's Sacramento. People have their preconceived notions about it. They hadn't made the playoffs for 16 years. Okay, fine. That's whatever. But that's why people come to us. That's why people go to their local newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people go to the Kings Beat podcast, because, hey, this is where I'm going to get my information about my favorite team.
Yeah.
And it sucks that the media landscape is such now that, and this isn't a basketball only thing.
Oh,
this is every sport.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is a sports media wide, I guess, issue that beat reporters are coming up against. But hopefully the vacuum left by Woj will open the door to local media getting some breaking news stories.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
And before we jump to the break and we go on to the next topic, I will say people here in Sacramento, there is a love-hate relationship with Woj.
And we'll tell you why coming up.
There we go.
Yeah. We'll talk about the Woj-Sacramento relationship here coming up. Adrian Wojnarowski out at ESPN. He is retiring. He has hung up his iPhone. We'll have more on that. The Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025 has its nominees. We'll go through some of the first-time nominees. Will they be in on the first ballot? We'll get to that. We got a couple of fun baseball things from last night. 49ers have some big-time problems. We'll get to all of it here in the next couple of hours. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're with you till noon on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Without fail, talk about food at a break, Chatty House is flying.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just not a fish guy, and now, but I would like to, I'm just going to force myself to start eating fish.
Yeah.
That's how I got to like beer, is I just, because I was drinking in college, is just pooling together enough money to get a couple of 30 racks of Keystone and you go to town, right? And I just forced myself because that's what all my friends were doing. I just peer pressured myself into it. But I didn't like it that much, but I just started, I'm just going to power through this. And eventually I started to really like it. Now I enjoy beer very much.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the way when you're young, you get into wine as well.
Yes, exact same thing.
Like, you really have to get in with like some of the lighter things.
Like a Moscato.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or like a really light rosé, or, you know, you start with like your Sutter Hill, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if I should be. Well, it's all right. It's good. Yeah.
And then you branch out from there.
Yeah. And like we talked about, like we were talking about food during the break, and like Makuni is right down the street. And I think they're friends here at Odyssey, but Taro is one of the most spectacular human beings you'll ever meet. Like,
I have yet to like meet a person who doesn't know Taro Makuni.
He is like the dude. He has so much energy and he's so fun and he's so generous with his time and generous with his money. And like, he really is like a major community asset. So are there other places in Sacramento you can get sushi that might be less expensive? Yes, but there aren't people who are like pillars of the community like Taro has been here in Sacramento.
Yeah, for sure.
Just a shout out to Taro. He's a great dude.
Next time my wife and I are up here, that's what we'll do. We'll go get some sushi.
Okay.
And I will report back on the program.
Okay.
I'm just not a fish guy, man. But I'm going to try. I'm going to really, in fact, you know what? Let me say, I have tried. I really do, because I would like to be a fish guy. Okay. Like high protein, low calorie. Like, yeah, I want to do that. So that's going to be my new thing. I'm just going to start forcing myself to like fish.
Okay.
I'm just going to fake it till I make it.
There it is.
Adrian Wojnarowski is retiring. We're talking about that quite a bit. The Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2025. The nominees are out.
Hmm.
This is the first set of nominees. 167 players.
Jeez.
And I want to get back to the Woj stuff in a bit, but I also want to get to this. So instead of rolling through all 167 players, I have here just the first-time nominees.
Oh, that's what this is.
Just the players that are on their first ballot.
Okay.
So what I would like to do is I want to go through here, and which of these players, this is just, do any of these guys get in on the first ballot?
Okay.
So that's what we're doing here, just first ballot. Not are they Hall of Famers, are they getting in 2025 with the class of 2025?
Okay.
Eli Manning.
Close. I don't think first ballot, but...
I don't think he's going to be first ballot either.
First three or four ballots for sure.
Yeah.
But he's a Hall of Famer because of the two Super Bowl wins.
Okay. Let's get to the are they a Hall of Famer in a second. Marshawn Lynch. Does he get in on the first ballot?
No.
I think I agree with you. Darren Sproles?
He never gets in, but that's okay.
I would agree with you. Demaryius Thomas.
The late great?
The late great Demaryius Thomas.
No.
Yeah, not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Vernon Davis?
No.
Nope. Delanie Walker?
No. Former 49er, no.
Travis Frederick?
I got to be honest, I don't know who Travis Frederick is.
Okay. Ryan Khalil, former offensive lineman?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Joe Staley?
No.
Nope. Marshall Yanda?
Nope.
Marshall Yanda might.
You think so?
Yeah, I got to go look at who else is not for, and that's the issue with the whole first ballot Hall of Fame thing, is there's just a backlog now, and they can't put in everybody in 1 year. So there's just this constant backlog of a player like Marshall Yanda, who maybe should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but you know, he is behind all these other guys who have to get in still.
Okay. But like he's also a 2000, he's the all 2010s team. Like, maybe.
Good player. Maybe just up against it with the backlog.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Kuechly?
No.
Yeah, no. Terrell Suggs?
Nope.
Nope. Antoine Bethea?
Nope.
Nope. Aqib Talib?
No.
Earl Thomas?
Maybe.
Earl Thomas is the only guy here. Earl Thomas and I think Marshall Yanda, I think, are the two guys who I could really see being first ballot.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas was so sick.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'd also, the last name on the list is Adam Vinatieri. And you don't give kickers first ballot Hall of Fame. But
no.
if you were going to give a kicker.
Vinatieri? Oh, he's on the next page.
He's on the next page. If you're going to give a player first ballot, then a kicker first ballot,
mm-hmm.
then I would be okay with Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah, the way the special teams relationship with the Hall of Fame is weird.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a surefire thing that a special teams player is going to get in. Like a player like Steve Tasker. Steve Tasker should be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But he's not because he's a special teams guy.
Yeah, he's just a special teams guy. But a kicker is different. And, I mean, we're talking about a kicker who kicked some of the biggest field goals in the history of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he
launched Tom Brady's career.
Yeah, he's a 3-time All-Pro, 4-time Super Bowl champ. He only made 3 Pro Bowls, which is crazy, but I think it's because kickers don't back out of the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
they're like,
exactly.
Free,
they're like, yeah, we'll go.
Free trip to Hawaii, I'm in.
Yeah. Slam some Mai Tais.
Yeah.
Like, Tony Romo is on the ballot. I think Tony Romo's getting in.
Really?
Yeah, I think Tony Romo's going to get in.
Not yet.
No, probably not yet.
I don't know how you, like, again, like, Tony Romo is what he is on as a commentator. As a quarterback, he was good, but he's in an era of greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you fit him into the era of greatness when he won 2 playoff games his entire career.
Yeah.
Like, I don't buy it. I don't, in all honesty, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. And in a...
That's fair.
Because even in a... in an era where, you know, Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Tom Brady existed,
point.
And Aaron Rodgers, at the same time, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers. Like, there are quarterbacks that not only won, but have so many yards, so many records.
That's a good point.
It's tough for me. I do not think he is a Hall of Famer. He's probably in his era, like the 15th best quarterback.
That's a good point.
So
yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know. We'll see.
And you're probably right. But like Reggie Wayne's got to get in.
Yeah.
Torrey Holt's got to get in.
Yes.
Steve Smith Sr. is going to get in.
Yep.
Hines Ward?
Probably.
Hines Ward probably gets in.
For playoffs and a mixture.
Oh, dude, Antonio Gates has got to get in this year.
Oh, yeah. Antonio Gates is he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I'm right there with
top
you.
Five tight end of all time.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
Yeah.
And then you've got guys like Jared Allen, Simeon Rice, Justin Tuck probably, maybe Vince Wilfork.
Yeah.
Maybe Haloti Ngata. Navarro Bowman's in here. I don't know if Bo's going to be a Hall of Famer.
I think Bowman will make it, but I think it'll take time.
James Harrison's in.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Vrabel's probably in.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's so many good players that still need to get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's why when I look at this list here, I'm not super impressed, and, like, I don't know that anyone is a first ballot.
Okay, so, but Eli Manning's getting in?
Eventually, yes.
Eli Manning's definitely getting in. People may not like it, but Eli Manning's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
I mean, I feel bad because there's a player that I believe, like, has not quite the resume, but he played in a different era. And the fact that Jim Plunkett is not a Hall of Famer, but Eli Manning is going to get in because he's got, and they both have Super Bowl, two Super Bowl MVPs. I could make the same argument that I just made about Tony Romo about Eli Manning being the 15th best, 17th, 18th best quarterback during his era.
Yeah.
But the two Super Bowls separate him. But then we have a guy like Jim Plunkett who doesn't get in. And you're just like, you're left always with like the dirty game that is getting voted in or not getting voted in.
And it's not just with Eli, it's not just that he won the two Super Bowls. It's the helmet catch to David Tyree.
Yeah.
And how he was nearly sacked on that play and then comes up with this miracle throw that alters the course of NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
And then same deal in the second one. He had that throw down the sideline to Mario Manningham. And it's just an iconic throw in Super Bowl history. And it's like, man, Eli did that. And that's I think, why he's going to get in.
Yeah. I mean, he's got two Super Bowl MVPs, only one for Plunkett. But again, you can't really compare because they're from two totally different eras with the passing yards and everything else. But I still think he deserves to be in without any question. Plunkett.
Yeah, and that's why.
And Eli will get in.
Eras are so hard because if you're just going, well, hey, Terry Bradshaw had this many passing yards, so that's the standard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, then every quarterback is going to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, there has to be more to it, and that's why I think Eli gets in. And to your point, maybe that's why Tony Romo doesn't, because Tony Romo does not have the titles and the moments that Eli Manning does.
Yeah,
Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, he's Hall of Famer.
He's getting in for sure. Darren Sproles, not getting in. God love him, but no.
No.
Demaryius Thomas.
No.
Yeah, no. Vernon Davis.
Possibly, but it'll take a long time. I'm going to say no.
I don't think Vernon's getting in, man. Yeah. He just, how quickly, he was so good for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like his peak was a little bit short.
Yeah.
And then the fall off was just so rapid.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, as a 29-year-old, he had 850 yards. After that, it like fell apart pretty quickly. I don't think he gets in. Two-time Pro Bowl or one-time Super Bowl champ. I don't think he gets in.
Well, right. One-time Super Bowl champ with, that was with Denver, right? And he had 20 catches for 201 yards with them.
Yeah.
That year, he wasn't impactful in that Super Bowl. If he had won a title with the Niners during the 2011 through 2013 stretch, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, he never had 1,000 yards in a year.
Yeah.
He did lead the league in touchdowns once, but the peak just wasn't long enough, I feel like.
I totally agree.
Yeah, as much as it pains me, I don't think Vernon's getting in. Same thing with Delanie Walker. Although Delanie Walker has had a fascinating career.
Yeah, like, incredibly fascinating.
He went from the 49ers, where he was strictly a blocking tight end. He was a fullback, blocking tight end. He'd catch a couple of passes here and there, but was mostly the backup. Where is he? There he is. And then he goes to Tennessee in 2013 and has a career-high 571 yards and 6 touchdowns as a 29-year-old, as their primary tight end. And then as a 31, 32, and 33-year-old, he has 1,088 yards and 6 touchdowns, 800 yards and 7 touchdowns, 807 yards and 3 touchdowns, and is a Pro Bowler in each of those years.
Wild.
Like, if you flip Delanie Walker's career, and he has the years he has with the Titans, and then the years he had with the Niners, I think he would probably have a stronger chance.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the fact that he came in the same year that Vernon Davis did as a top pick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had a very good chance of being, like, of having a Hall of Fame type career.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. I'm right there with you. So, shout out to Delanie Walker. Terrific career. Not a Hall of Famer for me. Who was next? Let's do Joe Staley while we're talking Niners.
Uh-huh.
Joe Staley get in?
Yes, but it takes a long time.
Yeah, he might even get the eventual, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Committee?
Yeah,
Committee.
Yeah, like,
that
maybe.
That might be how he gets in.
Yeah, it might take him a decade.
It just so much of this relies on, were you on a championship team?
Mm-hmm.
If you took Joe Staley's accolades, what was he, a 6-time Pro Bowler?
Something like that.
If you took Joe Staley's accolades and went, oh yeah, and he won 2 Super Bowls. Like, that's oh yeah, no, Joe Staley goes in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's a 6-time Pro Bowler. He's also on the All 2010, the Hall of Fame's All 2010 team. Mm-hmm. So I think those things matter.
I would agree with you. I think he gets in eventually, and maybe a Veterans Committee guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Travis Frederick's an interesting one. 5-time Pro Bowler.
Uh-huh.
Twice a second team All Pro, and once a first team All Pro. But he only played
6 years.
6 years.
Yeah, there's no way you get in.
Man,
he was really good, but I don't. Was it injury?
6 years. Yeah, he had Julian Barr syndrome, and he missed all of 2018.
Okay,
and then came back in 2019, and then that was it. He hung him up.
Oh, yeah. Guillaume Barre.
Oh, is that, sorry?
Yeah. So Guillaume Barre.
I don't know how to pronounce medical things.
That means he started having, like, facial paralysis, and, like, Guillaume Barre, it can go even worse than that. Mm. You can, like, be
Guillaume Barre. Learn something. Today.
You can be bedridden. Yeah.
Six years is just.
Yeah.
But no, what's tough. The cutoff? Like, Patrick Willis played 8. But the whole deal is like, yeah, but look how dominant he was in those 8 years. That was Travis Frederick.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, he's Pro Bowler every year. Yeah.
If you're stacking up his resume, that is a Hall of Fame resume to me. Because if he played 3 more years, but didn't just played and didn't make any Pro Bowls or All Pros, are we all of a sudden going like, oh yeah, he's a Hall of Famer?
No, I think the difference is that a center and offensive lineman typically, they play 12 years.
Yeah. It's
like, we have to look. So yeah, it brings up Terrell Davis, right?
Mm-hmm.
CSSR in the chat says Terrell Davis.
Terrell Davis is in.
Yeah. What's that?
It's a joke that Terrell Davis is in.
Well, but Terrell Davis, in the short span that he was incredible. And then, but as a running back, you can be incredible for a shorter amount of time and still get in, plus Super Bowls and all that stuff. But, you know, was it knee injuries? Wow, his career was super short.
Mm-hmm.
3-time Pro Bowler, but 3-time All Pro and a 2-time Super Bowl champ. I mean, and a 2,000-yard season, but he was only good for 4 years.
Yeah.
That's remarkable that he's a Hall of Famer.
You're telling me.
Yeah.
It shows the value. Go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Go be a key piece of a Super Bowl team, and you're just going to be in the Hall of Fame now.
Well, and aren't those the Super Bowl seasons with John Elway?
Yes.
And he's the guy that helped get John Elway his titles finally?
Yes.
Yeah. So for me, like, that's a really short career. I don't know. But as an offensive lineman, man, those dudes typically play, like, a center in the league that's great plays 12 to 15 years.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know.
So Ryan Khalil, who's up next here, I'm going to say Travis Frederick gets in eventually.
Okay.
Ryan Khalil, 13 seasons, 12 of them with the Panthers, twice a first team All Pro, once a second team All Pro. He's a 5-time Pro Bowler. I think Ryan Khalil gets in.
He does eventually.
Yeah. Marshall Yanda, same thing. I think.
Yeah.
Marshall Yanda was so good with the Baltimore Ravens for 13 years. Second team All Pro, 1, 2, 3, 5 times, 2-time first team All Pro, 8-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
Marshall Yanda's the man.
Yeah.
I think he's getting in.
Yeah, I think he probably gets in,
first ballot.
Before Joe Staley. You think he, but they're going to be in that same group because they're both like Hall of Fame 2010 team players.
Yeah, I think Yanda gets in before Staley.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Luke Kuechly gets in eventually, you think?
Maybe. Probably.
Terrell Suggs gets in.
Yeah, Suggs gets in.
Antoine Bethea, no.
Probably not.
Aqib Talib, no. Earl Thomas is in. Earl Thomas should probably be first ballot. Earl Thomas is so sick.
If there's any first ballot, I think it's there. And then Marshawn Lynch, because of his personality, he's going to be one of those guys that gets in maybe a little
bit. I kind of wonder, though, does he get in first ballot? Marshawn?
Maybe.
I think the media might have a problem with him.
Oh, okay.
It's a whole secretive little process that goes on for the voting.
Oh, yeah.
With the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But I could totally see media members being like, no, he's the guy who snubbed the media at the Super Bowl. We're going to make him pay for that.
Maybe. But I think overall, because he was such a visible person and player throughout his career, that maybe you'll ignore that. I don't know. He's really good, though.
Yeah.
He's definitely, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think they're going to make him wait. Like, Terrell Owens had to wait way too long because media went, yeah, no, we don't like that guy. And it wouldn't surprise me if the stodgy people who vote for this kind of thing go, yeah, no, we can't reward his behavior, even though he's beloved by NFL fans.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one. So I don't think he reached the plateau of Terrell Owens as far as not only as a player, but as a nuisance to the media.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Or a drama king. Owens worked his way out of so many situations in the league. And then you get done
kind of his whole bag.
Yeah, you get done with your career and he's top 5 all time in almost every single receiving category.
Yeah.
But he made it bigger about him and not about the game, and it took him way too long to get in the hole.
Hey, last one. Adam Vinatieri gets in, right?
He gets in.
Yeah. I think if anybody's going to be in the Hall of Fame, if any kicker's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. There are kickers in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I think Morton Anderson, Gary Anderson.
Yeah. It's just if you're going to let me get this list here. The special teams guys up or the kickers in right now. Well, Gary Anderson, David Akers, Darren Bennett, Jason Elam, Jeff Fiegels, Jason Hansen, John Casey, Shane Leckler should probably be in.
Wait, Gary Anderson isn't in the Hall?
No.
Oh, wow.
I think Morton Anderson is, though.
Yeah.
But like Matt Stover, it's just Mike Vanderjagt, okay, good player. Adam Vinatieri, of all those guys, is the one who should get in.
Yeah.
And I think probably Shane Leckler eventually. But yeah, anyways.
Okay.
Before we hit the break, can we go through a couple of fun baseball things from last night?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Shohei hit his 48th homer of the season.
It's wild.
Now 2 stolen bases and 2 home runs shy of a 50-50 season.
What, do they have 9 or 10 games left?
Yeah, something like that.
Oof.
Couple of weeks.
Okay.
He's getting there, dude.
Oh, no, he's getting there.
He's gunning for it. He says there's no pressure. He's like, yeah, no, there's no pressure with it. It's like, okay, but there is. There is a little.
They have 11 games left.
Like, we see you every time you get on base. Your only mind is to go to second.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He has he's looked at it as, something he can do. And he's like, okay,
what a ridiculous player.
It's so similar to the way that I remember Jose Canseco doing it, where it was like Jose Canseco hit a bunch of home runs.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, oh, well, I'm faster than everybody. I can steal 40 bases. And they're like, you can't steal 40 bases. Oh, yeah, I'll be first 40-40.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, whatever, bro. And then all of a sudden he goes out and he does it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, what in the world are we watching?
Yeah.
We now know what we're watching.
We sure do.
A guy with a giant needle. But at the end of the day, like at 50-50 season is so remarkable. This is something that, like, watching this is crazy.
It's been so much fun. And it's a testament to what he is as a player and who he is as a player that the special thing about him a year ago was this guy pitches and hits. Mm-hmm. And he's really good at both. And then they took the pitching away and he went to a different league. And he went, okay, I'm going to win an MVP in a completely different fashion by doing something else that we've never seen before.
Yes.
You're going to take the pitching away. Okay, great. I'd say you... I'm going to have pitching taken away from me because of my torn UCL. Let me go be the 50-50 guy.
Yeah.
Like, what? I just hope people, whether you like baseball or not, I hope people appreciate this. And I know I've said this before, and I know I've harped on it, and I know there are probably Giants fans who have their eyes rolling out the back of their skulls or they're turning the radio off, which is fine. But just from a pure baseball history standpoint, what Shohei Ohtani is doing right now, I don't want to say we may never see again because there's a really strong chance we will. Mm-hmm. Now that this bar has been set, you're going to see the Ronald Acuñas of the world and the Mike Trouts of the world and the players who are very talented gunning for this and shooting to reach this 50-50 plateau. So I think we'll see it happen again. But just understand that you're getting to live in the middle of a very historic baseball season. Aaron Judge, by the way, can still get to 60 home runs for the second time, although his pace has slowed down dramatically.
He's at 53. He was stuck at 51 for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, he could get there.
Yep.
But still, this is just it's really incredible what Shohei is doing. And now there's talk that the Dodgers may ask him to pitch in the postseason.
He might be able to come back and pitch in the postseason. He's been throwing from the mound. His throwing program is already there.
Right. I can't imagine that they're going to go like, hey, your first pitches after Tommy John surgery in a live game are going to be in a super high stress playoff environment. There's just no way.
No.
You can't do that.
No, I would agree with you, but I also think there could be a situation where, you know, you're looking at a player and you're like, okay, look, we need someone to go out there for two innings because it's a super lopsided score and we don't want to burn a bunch of pitchers. So, hey, let's just go out there and, you know, you go ahead and do your best.
Can you get
and,
your bullpen in?
Yeah. Get your bullpen session in.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're going to do that. But shout out to Shohei Ohtani. Really rooting for him to get to 50-50 because I like baseball history, and that would be pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. And that's what we got. I got another fun baseball thing, but we can table that. We'll get back to the Woj conversation. He is retiring from ESPN. We'll re-rack that. We'll also have a Sacramento Kings check-in that we did not get to yesterday. We got some 49ers problems to solve as well. All that coming up in the second hour. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader.